Welcome to Teacher Tales, where the chalk meets the cheese. I'm Glenn Bryant, your host on this weekly podcast, here to share the fun, the fails, and the fantastic moments from classrooms everywhere. Whether you're an educator or you just love a good story, you're in the right place. Stick around, like, subscribe, and share. You don't want to miss a single laugh or lesson.
Hello and welcome to
Teacher Tales.
I'm joined today by LaBeth Bryant, my favorite person in the entire universe. She is my wife, partner, and best friend. She's the reason I'm in education, but I'll let her tell her story. So, LaBeth, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you work, what you, you know, kind of how you got into education, and you just tell us your story.
Okay. First of all, LaBeth Long Bryant went to school at Danville High School. Glenn and I have been married for 32 years, and we have two kids, Will and Mary Beth. You met Mary Beth already. She is actually his favorite person. But anyway, I have been teaching for 33 years and just recently retired in May. Out of the 33 years, I spent 2.5 years in a private school, and then the remainder of my teaching career was at West Morgan Elementary. I have taught second grade, kindergarten, fifth grade, and have ended my career being the Title I reading and math interventionist at West Morgan. Why did I get into teaching? It's all I ever wanted to do. I guess I'm the one that taught the baby dolls and the Barbie dolls, and I never even considered a different career. It's what I wanted to do. Do I regret that? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, I would still be teaching today if it wasn't for some physical concerns. I love it. I love teaching the kids to read. I love when the light bulb comes on and they're like, I got it. I can do this. And that just gives you a remarkable feeling when you know you're the one that helped get them to that light bulb. But I've enjoyed my career, but I'm also going to enjoy retirement.
Me too. So thinking back to your early days, who are some folks that helped you get started along that on your path in education? I know that for me, it was you.
Goodness.
You know, just encouraging me because I went to school at night to get my degree, and just being supportive and you know, kind of that gentle pressure. And, you know, it's been a wonderful ride. So who are some of the influences or people that helped you get started along the way?
Hands down, some of my favorite elementary school teachers. And some of the ladies that I would name were not even my elementary school teachers. I just watched them. If you're not familiar with the Danville area, we have a feeder school at the time that I was in school, Neal Elementary. And the teachers there just kind of were laid back, but did a great job of teaching you. Mr. Thompson, our principal, it was just down home country school, but we fed into Danville. And when you got to Danville, you were joined by the kids from Flint and the kids from Danville Elementary School. It wasn't Danville Neal Elementary School at the time. But the ladies that I would just name that hands down molded me into who I am today, Linda Owens, Joan Walker, Gwen D. Dean, and Gail Nichols. Just wonderful teachers. They did the job, and they did it with a smile on their face.
Well, again, thank you to those ladies for impacting you, and also thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. It's going to be fun.
I can't wait.
So what's the most memorable moment a student made you laugh, and how did that moment impact your teaching?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you remember that I told you I did 2.5 years in private school?
Yes.
Well, I was teaching kindergarten at the time, and we had just come back from Christmas break, and I was finishing up my Bible lesson. The administrator was in the classroom doing an observation. So we were finishing up, and I said, okay, does anybody have anything that we need to pray about before we pray? That's my lesson I learned. Anyway, student raises his hand and he said, oh, please forgive me for this because it's not really ladylike. But he said, pray for my nuts. I got a new bicycle for Christmas. I don't know how the administrator and I kept a straight face and I made it through the prayer, but we immediately went out of the room and lost it. You could hear us laughing.
So he said, thank you, pray for my nuts.
I just got a new bicycle for Christmas.
I don't know how I forgot that story, but I do remember that.
I do. Oh my gosh. I don't know. But what I learned from that is let's just not ask for prayer requests.
So the Lord knows.
Right.
Oh my word.
But I made it through the prayer. I prayed for him to be careful and have safety while he was riding his new bicycle. Yeah.
That could have gone sideways quick.
I will never forget that. Yes.
So our next question is, if you could give your younger self a piece of advice, only one piece, your younger teacher self, what would that advice be? And then why would you give it to you?
Well, as I was thinking about the questions, I saw this theme over and over. So you're going to hear me say it a lot as I answer these questions for Mr. Bryant. Is give yourself grace. There's a lot in education now, and no one expects you to be perfect. Yes, there's going to be angry parents, and yes, you're going to do something wrong, and yes, you're going to have bad days. But give yourself some grace, LaBeth, because you're not perfect. And just do the best you can. You're going to have paperwork and you're going to feel overwhelmed and the lesson's not going to go right. But what matters is your relationship with those students. Do they know you care about them? Do they know that you love them? And do they know that you have their back?
That is awesome advice. So next question is, what's the craziest thing that you've ever done to keep your students engaged, and did it work?
Well, you know, if you know me, I was a cheerleader at the big old Danville High School. And we, as I taught fifth grade and second grade especially, we did cheers to every vocabulary and definition. We did cheers and jumps and claps to math equations, math facts, everything. So I guess I brought my, ability of cheering into the classroom, and we clapped and cheered and chanted and we learned.
Did it work?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Anytime you can get kids active, it's a good thing. So the next question is kind of a personal question. How do you stay motivated personally on those days when nothing seems to go right?
Jesus, music. I love music. Music is soothing. And if you don't play it in your classroom occasionally, you should try it. If you're having a bad day, turn on some music. My music, it's soothing. Actually, I also thought of, if you've had a bad day, that song, not the ugly version, but the good version of, if you kick up the grass and the magic's gone, just give yourself some grace and turn on some music.
Can you share a time when a student success story reminded you why you became a teacher?
Oh, yes, easily. I ended my career teaching reading intervention to kindergarten through fourth grade, and now it's kindergarten through third grade at the elementary school. But I had a student that could read. He just didn't want to read, and therefore his comprehension and fluency was not where it should be. And so I finally just sat down with him one day and I said, well, tell me about the things that you like to do. So he named off playing baseball and basketball and football, and he liked sports. And I said, well, what's your most favorite thing to do in the world? He said, well, I like to watch Scooby-Doo. Do you know that I have Scooby-Doo books? No, you don't have Scooby-Doo books. Yes, I do. I pulled him out of the little tub and I handed him Scooby-Doo books. And I also showed him some books that I had that were about baseball, football, and all of those things. And he started reading. He started reading those Scooby-Doo books. And Mom went and bought him some more Scooby-Doo books over the weekend. and he picked up the books, and now he says he loves to read. So you've just got to find that thing that students love and put it in a book or in a math lesson. And when they fall in love with it, when they have self-ownership of it, it becomes theirs.
So this is a follow-on question. How many books? I know that there are bookshelves, probably as many books in your classroom as there are in the library. About how many? And I know you know because you ordered them all and counted them all and inventoried them all.
Well, let me just say, in my classroom, or what was my classroom, it's not mine anymore because I retired, but I am contracting and go up there and work three to 4 hours a day. Is a book room, and it sets of books that the teachers check out and use to do small group lessons with. But one thing that I would never say no to, even as a mom or an aunt or a friend, is a book. A book, a book, a book. But there are probably over 6,000 books in my classroom, goodness, and there's probably 1,000 in this house.
At least. Yeah, you're the readingest person I've ever met.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. So what's the funniest misunderstanding or miscommunication you've ever had with a student or a parent?
I tried to think of one specific one. And you know, miscommunication is not really funny in the elementary school setting because the kid goes home and tells the mama or the daddy and what they understood about it. And then mom and daddy come up and they're mad. And sometimes they're so mad they don't even let you tell
what
your
really
side of the story, yeah, or what really happened, or that you didn't mean it quite the way that it was taken, but maybe the teacher was having a bad day and it kind of came off as gruff or whatever. So I really couldn't think of just one miscommunication other than, oh my gosh, I even hate to say it because I try not to, but the word damn shows up in a lesson every once in a while, and the kids just, ha, 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 that's so funny, you said an ugly word. No, you have to backtrack and teach the definition of a dam as being something that a beaver builds in the water to stop the water from flowing. And, you know, we have the Wheeler Dam, and they're like, oh, they're so disappointed that I didn't actually say an ugly word.
Well done.
Right.
How do you inspire students who are struggling both academically and personally?
Well, I used to tell the story to my reading intervention kids about how cars go at different speeds. They all can run and you can drive them down the road, but they go at different speeds. Some go really fast and some that are driven by, listen at this, little old women or little old men go kind of slower. And then some go just right the right speed. And their car might be going really slow right now when it comes to reading, but they're going to get there if they just keep working. And you can also use the analogy of you've got to practice. When you cheer or play baseball, football, basketball, any of those sports, soccer, or you do gymnastics or dance, you have to keep practicing to be able to get the skill. And that's the same thing in school. You've got to keep practicing that skill and that standard, if you will, to be able to do it well.
Those are both great analogies. Mm-hmm. So if teaching were a superhero job, what would you say your superpower is and how do you use it in the classroom?
Well, I tried to think of the right word for it, but a teacher needs to be more than one person. There needs to be multiple teachers in that classroom.
So you're saying schizophrenia?
Well, no, not different personalities. She needs more hands. I guess I needed to be not really an octopus, but you need more bodies. You need more people in there. To help, because in a classroom, let's say you have a classroom of 22 people and you've got your low students and you've got your average students and you've got your above average, you've got your behavior problems, you've got the kids that never say a word, and all that paperwork that we have to do now and all the lessons you have to prepare is to be able to reach all of those students, which is a teacher's goal, reaching all of the students. There's got to be more than one person doing it in the classroom. I'm not just talking about the people like go out to pull intervention, because the kids that that tend to get lost are those average kids, those kids that are quiet. And if there was more, if there's a teacher assistant in every classroom, or if there was multiples of Miss Bryant, then nobody would get lost.
That's great. Well, we'll be right back with story time. Again, thank you for being with us and here on Teacher Tales.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we're back and it's story time. This is where we tell anything that doesn't quite fit into that we haven't heard about yet, but needs to be told. There's funny stories, pranks, antics, anything. We don't have an agenda for story time. It's just your time to tell whatever's funny and whatever comes to mind.
Okay. The story I have to tell is a prank. If you are familiar with West Morgan, then you know that the elementary school has only existed for about 12 years. Before that, we were all housed at the old high school, and it was kindergarten through 12th grade. And so those kindergartners and first grade babies were at the back of the school at the end and had to walk through Sunshine Alley to get to the library and to the lunchroom. And we had a teacher, one of my best friends, one of my favorite people in the world, Cindy Crockey. Yes, I named her. We were all known for stopping at people's classroom doors and visiting on that long trek from Sunshine Alley and beyond to the lunchroom or to the library. Well, this particular day, I was in my second grade classroom in Sunshine Alley, just trying to teach away, and I kept noticing that there was a class in the hallway outside the door, which was the stopping point for the, okay, we're back from lunch, go to the restroom, get water, and go back into the classroom. Outside my classroom was the stopping point for that. Well, this particular day, they were a little bit rowdy, but not bad, but I recognized them as being Cindy Crockett's classroom. Well, I coaxed the kids into my room and hid them in the corner. And here comes Cindy down the hallway going, "Hey, LaBeth, have you seen my classroom?" No, I haven't seen them. "Seriously, LaBeth, where are my students?" "I don't know, Cindy. Do you think they went on to your classroom?" So she goes on down to her classroom and she comes back, "I've lost my kids. What am I going to do?" And all the time, they're in the corner in my classroom. It was just the neatest. It took her probably 2 or 3 minutes before she finally just walked into my classroom and said, "What have you done with my kids?" And they were all in the corner. It was really funny.
So we still
laugh about that.
So those kids would probably be 40 now?
Oh, let's see. I think that Will's class, which would be like Houston and Dustin, Jared Terry, that group of boys, I think they were in the first grade. I was teaching second grade at the time.
So and close to 30.
Yeah, I think it was that group of kids. Because if I'm not mistaken, some of those kids were in Cindy Crockett's classroom that year.
Good, that's fun stuff right there.
We had a great time. We used to love to pull some pranks at the good old West Morgan Elementary.
I was there for 1 year while they were still a K-12 school, and the thing I remember is Bruce Kimbrell, the principal at the high school, would make announcements from a basket, mm-hmm. and it didn't matter what you put in the basket, he would announce it.
Right.
He wouldn't prove for, right. There was the year where we had a particularly rainy spring, and someone, I ain't going to say, put a note in there that we would be having swim team tryouts at the baseball field. Of course, there was no swim team.
There was no swim team
at West Morgan.
And do you love the way he said, "Good morning, West Morgan," kind of like the "Good morning, Vietnam"?
Exactly like "Good morning, Vietnam."
Yeah. You need to get him on here.
Yeah, should try.
Right.
Well, thank you for being with us. Do you have any other stories you want to tell?
Oh, there's lots of stories, but I'll save them for another time.
I do thank you for being with us today, and if you know a teacher like LaBeth who would be a great person that you'd love to hear interviewed, feel free to drop me an email, make a note in the comments. All I need is their name and their school, and I'll do the rest on making sure that they get invited to come to Teacher Tales. Thank you for being with us, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Teacher Tales. If you were inspired, motivated, or just had a good laugh, be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. And if you know a good teacher who has a story to tell, I'd love to hear from them. Send me an email at motivatedinspiration@gmail.com with your suggestion. Remember, whether you're in the classroom, at home, or out in the world, keep spreading the joy of learning. Until next time, keep those stories alive.